Welcome to Foresight Friday Roundup, Foresight Health's podcast series for healthcare revolutionaries. Outcomes matter, customers count, and value rules. Hello again, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. Today on Foresight Friday Roundup, we're going to be talking about drugs. We're going to be talking about the prospects for a COVID-19 vaccine. We're going to be talking about the market response of drug companies to the coronavirus outbreak. And we're going to be talking about some of the unintended consequences of how drug companies are responding. As always, our resident experts on Foresight Friday Roundup to comment on these topics are Dave Johnson, founder and CEO of Foresight Health, and Gary Bisbee, co-founder and executive chairman of the Health Management Academy. Hello, Dave. Hello, Gary. How are you both doing?
Doing great, Dave.
Morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday is right. Before we talk about vaccines and drug companies, this weekend, as you know, is Memorial Day weekend. Are either of you planning to go outside or in some way honor all the heroes who have died in the service of our country?
Well, in our neighborhood, Dave, we've got the 57th annual Woogham's Memorial Day Parade. Woogham stands for Wellington Oakdale Old Glory Marching Society. And every year, a few hundred people get together about a half a block from here in Woogham's Alley and march to St. Joe's and get popsicles, and Jesse White Tumblers perform, and it's always a lot of fun. And the slogan has always been, everybody marches, nobody watches. So this year, it's going to be a virtual parade. And the slogan is now, everybody watches, nobody marches. And we're going to have, kids singing the national anthem, a tribute to the veterans. Both Governor Pritzker and Mayor Lightfoot are going to make remarks, and then we'll have a performance of the Jesse White Tumblers at the end. So that's where I'm going to be at 11 a.m. on Monday.
Very well organized.
Yeah,
I'm impressed.
How about you, Gary? What are you up to?
Yeah, our little parade here in New Canaan has been canceled, unfortunately. So we'll all be remembering those that have given their lives for the country in our thoughts and prayers.
That sounds great. I think we're going to make our kids who typically march in the Memorial Day Parade play their instruments inside to see if they could still carry a tune.
So you're going to break some glasses. If you do that.
It'll be real interesting. All right. Well, Dave, the story this week seems to be the prospect for a COVID-19 vaccine. What have you seen that makes you optimistic about that? And what have you seen that makes you skeptical?
Let's start with reasons to be optimistic. After a slow start, the pharma industry's mobilization has been just remarkable. J&J, Gilead, Abbott have all jumped in with both feet, along with almost every other of the major pharma companies and many small ones too. And they're attacking all aspects of the challenge, testing, treatment, vaccines, and so on. We saw the results this week from the Moderna vaccine, early stages results, and they were very promising. Stock price went through the roof. They're going to get a lot of government funding, so that one's going to be pushed hard, and hopefully we'll have positive results. You know, in many ways, this is big data and big science going where medicine hasn't ever gone before, at least going there far faster than medicine has ever gone before. So it has a real moonshot quality to it, the whole exercise. And it's hard not to get excited by that. American know-how and gung-ho attitude, along with the rest of the world, attacking a big problem. At the same time, lots of reasons to be pessimistic. There's never been a vaccine for a coronavirus. So scientists are starting from scratch. Even in the best of circumstances, producing a vaccine is a highly unpredictable process as the testing goes through the various stages. There are always surprises. And in this case, we're going to need to develop multiple vaccines for the different types of recipients. So lots that can go wrong there. And on this accelerated timetable, very possible that it will get delayed or waylaid in some form or another. And then once the vaccine is in place, there are another whole host of major issues. manufacturing, distribution, prioritization of who receives the vaccine, balancing getting it to the greatest number with protecting those that are the most vulnerable, education, you know, particularly addressing all the anti-vaccine people out there. And so as we sit here today, still relatively early in the corona crisis, it's like the since we're talking about Memorial Day, it's like the soldiers in World War One, you know, singing, it's going to be a long, long way to Tipperary.
Gary, same thing. What do you see happening on the vaccine front that gives you hope and some things that give you pause?
Well, over the course of the last several weeks, I've had the good fortune to interview Albert Bourla, the CEO of Pfizer, and Alex Gorsky, the CEO of J&J, and Julie Gerberding, a senior executive at Merck. And Julie, of course, was CDC director for 7 or 8 years. So, and used to head up Merck's vaccines division. Each company has a different approach and is kind of at a different place along the line. For example, Pfizer has 4 candidates currently in process, and at the same time, they're refitting certain of their manufacturing in the hope that at least one of those 4 turns out to be a good one, in which case they'll be ready to go on the manufacturing front. J&J just interviewed Alex 2 days ago, and he's committing to 1 billion doses being available by the end of 2021. J&J is just a machine in terms of their ability to produce and distribute. So the vaccine that they're starting with, or at least the formulation that they're starting with, is the one that they developed for Ebola, which has some similarities. So they're not starting from scratch. And then Julie was making the point that she really thought that it would be the end of 2021 before it was available, before a vaccine was available in any kind of volume. The Moderna vaccine is, I think, a bit early to tell. I've seen some indication that it is has a robust immune reaction. It's a 2-dose vaccine. By the way, the J&J vaccine is probably a 3-dose vaccine. So, you know, there's a lot of details here that need to be worked out. As Dave said, I'm optimistic. I think the issue is simply time frame. I don't think there's any question that we're going to have more than one vaccine. The question is, can you do it in a matter of months? And that seems unlikely. But if we're thinking about vaccines available in 2021 in some kind of volume, I think the odds are pretty good that we'll be able to reach that goal.
Got it. Dave, do you think the country is that patient enough to wait that long?
You know, that's an interesting question. I find this really interesting tension between the science of developing a vaccine and journalism, the media's coverage of it. They really don't go together very well. I mean, journalists like a clean story with a clear ending. And every time there's a bit of progress, there's almost this breathless quality to the reporting. You know, it's just right over the horizon. And scientists, you know, kind of like Gary was just describing, are just this very methodical, pushing back against the unknown each day, trying to learn a little bit more until they get enough accumulated knowledge to make some progress. It's a painstaking path fraught with lots of twists and turns. And I do worry that the way we're covering this in the media is setting some false expectations and also, you know, some alarms among the anti-vaxxers. So watching how that part of the drama plays out, the coverage of this, I think, will be very important to how the public at large reacts and whether we are patient enough.
Yeah, no, that's great. Well, why don't we move on to our second topic related to the first, and that's how you think drug companies have responded from a market perspective during the pandemic. Gary, what do you think they should be congratulated for, and what do you think they should be criticized for?
Well, I think in terms of COVID in particular, I don't really see much that they should be, somebody should have a problem with what they're doing. Gilead obviously stepped up and moved remdesivir along, and although I don't know that that's a silver bullet at all, but it does seem to shorten hospital stays. I know that we're working with Merck, Pfizer, and Lilly, who made their physicians and nurses available to work in hospitals, and the Academy is acting as an intermediary to connect doctors and nurses from those drug companies with hospitals that need them. So that was, I think, a good sign that they're thinking about the community. And as Dave said earlier, they're working on vaccines and everybody's kind of pushing in that direction. So I don't know what the status of drugs beyond this remdesivir is. I'm sure they're all working on it. That's obviously a lot longer pathway than vaccines. So it'll be a while before we know anything there. But I don't think we're going to even criticize the drug companies at this point.
Got it. Dave, how would you grade the marketplace response of drug companies to the pandemic and why? And do you see any unintended consequences of how they're reacting and behaving?
I agree with Gary. It's hard to fault their response. I think in many ways they're using coronavirus as an opportunity to burnish a tarnished image, since there's been so much negative focus on drug prices, opioids, and so on. And quite honestly, I'm excited by the fact that we're seeing big pharma focus on vaccines, a broad public health goal. Vaccines haven't been a very good business for pharma because once a pandemic has gone away, the need for the vaccine diminishes. It's also usually, one and done, or two shots and done, or three shots and done, as Gary was describing before. I'm hopeful that we'll see similar efforts, for example, pointed toward developing a whole new round of antibiotics that we can use broadly to treat disease. It would be good to see pharma as focused or more focused on these broad public health concerns as they currently have been on treating orphan diseases. And I think maybe bigger picture, another thing that makes me optimistic is just like what happened with Sputnik in the 1950s, where we got surprised by the Soviets' entry into space, and that ushered in a commitment to science and engineering, that this is the type of crisis that could capture the public's attention and create the next generation of scientists, engineers. A lot of it's going to be data-driven that can really revolutionize the way we live, work, and play in the world. So maybe that's an unexpected positive good consequence from all of this.
So that sounds what, like B plus A minus range? Dave?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Gary, do you agree with that grade that Dave just gave out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Dave makes a really good point. He was talking specifically about scientists reacting to the COVID crisis, and let's extend that a bit to caregivers, Dave, because yeah. I think that we'll see doctors and people drawn into medicine and nursing and so on as a result of this, which will certainly be a positive. And just going back a minute, Dave was making a point about the media And they like a nice clean story and an ending to it, which totally agree with that. And Dave, we might include politicians in that. I don't know that the public has any option here. They're going to have to wait until a vaccine is developed. But how the media treats that, how our politicians treat that is probably more variable.
Got it. Yeah, well, I'll make sure I tell my friends to temper their enthusiasm a little bit, right? All right. Why don't we talk a little bit about next week? Gary, tell me what you think the big story in healthcare will be in the week ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine it's going to be the governor's opening the states. That seems like it's the big story. We're seeing that there's likely to be a surge in the South, so strictly from treating COVID patients, that will be a story. I imagine that we're going through in hospitals where there are hot zones. How are the caregivers going to treat all this? I mean, there's a lot of stress on these people. There's going to be some reactions to that stress. Hopefully they can kind of come down from the top of the mountain of the kind of stress that they've been at and do that without a lot of problems. But one imagines this is going to be a big issue for the hospitals to handle these caregivers that have been under such a stressful condition.
Yeah, absolutely. Dave, what's your prediction for the big story in healthcare next week?
Well, I'm going to stick with the vaccine theme of this week's program. And just make the observation that this video plandemic that went viral to me is a very troubling development. It's an anti-vaccine conspiracy theory about coronavirus. And it went mainstream and over 8 million people have viewed it. And it just eats away at the edges of what leaders can do to establish trust and credibility. Also, just this morning, we heard that the Washington State unemployment process has been hacked and they've lost several millions of dollars, even tens of millions of dollars, which again, the ability of leaders to communicate with the public is absolutely paramount at this point in time. And yet the level of distrust is exceptionally high. So I think we're going to continue to see that tension working its way through. And places that have higher degrees of trust with their leaders will do better than those that don't. And that's going to be a theme that we should pay careful attention to.
Great. Now, I'll just add one thing to that is stay out of Wisconsin. That could be a whole nother episode.
Well, you know, Dave, you and I live in Illinois. I've got a little postcard on my desk of a cow running flat out. It's both front legs out, back legs out, sweat going off its brow, and the caption underneath is "Escaping Wisconsin." And there's never been a better reason to escape Wisconsin than what's going on there right now.
Rather parochial point of view, gentlemen.
Yes.
Of course, easy for me. I'm out here in Connecticut. What do I know about the Midwest?
All right, guys. That's all we have time for today. As always, we appreciate your comments and your insights. If you'd like to learn more about the topics we discussed today, please visit our website at foresighthealth.com. Thanks again for listening. I'm Dave Berta for Foresight Health.